want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
Cindy and I would like to say thank you to all of those who have contributed to this ministry, making this broadcast possible.
The title of this message is, The Greatest Wars Come Before the Greatest Wins. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
Abraham wasn't worried about it. Abraham had a promise from God, which always ends with a provision from God. If you have a promise, there is a provision. And I love the word provision because it means before the vision. It means that before God ever gave you the vision, He already had the stuff needed for the vision to get fulfilled. It was provision. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is a God who keeps His promises. Now, it didn't matter when in between the promise and the provision, there was a problem. I will tell you that that is the norm. Between the promise and the provision of that, you're always going to have a problem. Always. And here's another thing. I've said it many times over the years. God is always more interested in the minister than He is the ministry. No matter what He has us doing, no matter where He's taking us, He's never going to waste an opportunity to help to shape our character to make us more like Jesus. And we can't be more like Jesus unless we've experienced some suffering and experienced some trials and experienced some turmoil. The scripture even says about Jesus Himself as a man, He learned obedience through what? Suffering. That never made sense to me. In fact, I never did like that scripture because I don't like to suffer, all right? But I want to tell you, and we're not exalting suffering. We're just saying that we have what it takes to get through it so that instead of getting bitter in the midst of it, we can get better in the midst of it. But the choice is going to be up to us. Listen, He's too wise to be mistaken, and He's too truthful to lie. And when you can't trace His hand, you have to trust His heart. In other words, you have to, as we said a while ago, you have to look to His character, not to the circumstance that you're in. All of Abraham, all that he could see, there was so much more that he could not see. And I want to tell you, that's how it is for us today. We can only see just a little bit. We can't see everything in advance. And I've often said this as well. Had God showed me everything in advance, I would have not gone forward, right? One of the things that I feared most when it came to pastoring, one of the things that I feared it because I saw how my pastor was one of the most loving, steady, amazing men of God that ever walked this earth. And I saw people mistreat him and stab him in the back. And I mean, just smear his name. And, you know, people would go home with their families after church and do nothing but complain and gripe. And I mean, it was horrible what he had to endure. And he just kept on. And I remember thinking, I ain't going to keep on. I ain't even going there. And I'm telling you, it was unbelievable as a child, the things that I saw happening to them. Because they were misunderstood. There were choices they had to make that nobody's going to understand because nobody sees the big picture. And one of the things that you got to deal with as a pastor is pastors know things about people that's nobody else's business. So when you have to make decisions regarding people sometimes, other people are not going to understand that. And when people go complaining to them, they're going to want to side with them. And the pastor is not even at liberty to expose that person. Because what we want is their restoration, not them being destroyed. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So you got to remain tight-lipped as people point their fingers and believe things about you that's not even true because they don't see the big picture. And as far as I'm concerned, I didn't want to deal with all that. In fact, I just wanted to play my music and be happy, right? That's all I wanted to do. And feel like I was doing something good for Jesus. right? Again, he's faithful and he's good and he knows what we need, and he also knows he can't show us too much in advance or else we will not do it. Abraham did not see that as he spoke to his servants, a ram wandered from the flock on the other side. All Abraham knew was this is what God told him to do. It didn't make any sense. We don't have a lamb. We don't have, but God tells me to bring my son up and sacrifice him. That makes no sense to me. But what he didn't see was the ram wandered from a flock on the other side. He did not know that, as he told Isaac, God will provide, that this ram was on his way to the top of the mountain on the other side of the mountain where he could not see. He did not see, as he unloaded the wood for the sacrifice, that the ram was trying to break through the thicket. He didn't see it. He didn't know it. It was not until Abraham took that knife in his hand and that angel stopped him and pointed out that ram with its horns stuck in that thicket. He didn't know. He didn't know it, but all the while, God was at work on the other side of the mountain in a way that he could not see. I'm here to tell you tonight, no matter what you're dealing with or going through, if you're faithful to the Lord, if you remain faithful to the Lord, if you remain committed to him in all of your ways, on the other side of the mountain in which you can't see, he's got a ram coming up to take care of your situation. You may not be able to see it. You may not be able to understand how. But God is at work on the other side of the mountain. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. So letting us know, we don't understand how he works, but he's good. And he knows his business. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, usually when we think of that scripture, we're thinking of heaven. We're thinking of a wonderful place in heaven that we get to go to. But I want to tell you, God has all kinds of things in this life as well that we still can't yet imagine that he wants to do in and through us. God's always setting us up for the next fulfilled promise. And sometimes when he's setting us up for the next fulfilled promise, we think he's being mean to us. We think he's abandoned us. We think he doesn't understand us. I mean, God, if you really knew my situation, you would do this, 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 and this. This is why, again, I've learned as I'm getting older, I've learned that I rarely actually pray in English anymore. I just pray in the Spirit because I know that my brain is going to want to take over and start trying to direct God in what he should do. So I just spend more time praying in the Spirit because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what is needed. God is always setting us up for the next fulfilled promise. And if we can see it like that, the next time you run into something, the next time you feel like you're being confronted, the next time you're in a tough situation, just rehearse that. Thank you, Lord. You're setting me up for the next fulfilled promise. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I trust you. So when we're walking in and living out our faith in obedience to God, God always has a ram coming up the other side of the mountain. And so I like to play with words. So what is ram? Remedy for our pain, answer for our problem, manifestation of his promise. It's always there. We just can't see it. Psalm chapter 118, verse 23 through 24. What I'm going to do here, because we're drawing to an end, but I want to give you several scriptures here as we end this message. Psalm 18, 23 through 24 says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm always amazed at this scripture. I remember when I was a kid, it was a popular song, a popular chorus. We used to sing it all the time. This is a day. Anybody remember it? This is a day that the Lord has made. And, you know, I remember the first time it dawned on me that those words were part of the Hallel, what's called the Hallel. When Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples, just before going to the cross, during that Last Supper, at the end, it says they sung a hymn together. Well, what was the hymn? It's called the Hallel. What's part of the Hallel? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he's singing with his disciples, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But when God's trying to crucify our flesh, it's hard to sing that same song. But if Jesus could do it,
and the same Spirit who raised him from the dead lives in us, then we can also do it.
And I love that it says this is the Lord's doing.
The Lord is still doing stuff. I was thinking about this today. God rested after his creation. God also rested, Jesus said, it is finished, in dealing with our salvation, the salvation of our spirit, for us to be born again. But God is still working when it comes to our sanctification. He's still working with us. He's still strengthening us. He's still teaching us. He's still intervening for us in ways that we need him to. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, a scripture that we're all familiar with, and we know that for those who love God, this promise is only for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, right? That all things work together for the good. Now, I've heard a lot of people over the years say, oh, don't worry about it. All things work together for the good. Well, only for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Nobody else can claim that. Because the truth of the matter is all things don't work together for the good of those who don't love God. But they do work together for the good of us, right? And so 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is Paul speaking. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, I want to clarify something here. I've seen a lot of people use this scripture, and again, I've taught this before, but a lot of people use this scripture to justify sin in their life. And they say, see that, you know, just, you know, when I sin, you know, that's my weakness, and so somehow God gets glorified through it. No, that's not what he's talking about at all. Paul is talking about here, his grace is sufficient. If you understand that grace isn't just covering up your sin, but it empowers you against sin, then you see it in a whole different light. God's telling him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What is the weakness? It's the less of me and more of him.
Hello, this is Pastor Dwayne. I would like to take a few moments to say thank you to those who have written in or called in or just let us know that you've been blessed by this program. Your prayers and encouragement compel us to keep pressing forward. We're also very thankful for those who have sent financial support, both businesses and private individuals. You know who you are. It's truly a joy providing this program for you. We've been amazed at the wide variety of folks who say that they have been impacted by the message brought to you here. From those who are incarcerated to police officers, from business owners to homemakers, from farmers to legislators. We know that we have a mandate from the Lord to preach the no-compromise, straightforward gospel truth, and that is what we've strived to do. If you've been blessed by this radio program in some way, please continue to pray for us, and we would also love to hear from you. You could call or write or even friend us on Facebook. We love to post inspirational thoughts daily. Send your Facebook request to Pastor Dwayne Daigle. And as the Lord lays it on your heart, by all means, your financial gift of any size would be a great blessing. Thank you so much for helping us to take ground for the kingdom of God.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.